Nothing, man. Just waking up seems like a goddamn chore these last few days.
That sucks. I mean, it kind of is, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
I know for us it's a bit of a chore, 'cause Lucas is still, too young to be fully autonomous for getting ready in the mornings, but mornings always suck because you're leaving the comfort of sleeping and bed. Although I'm one of those that while I enjoy being asleep and getting rest, I hate how much time it takes. Like I wish there was a way to healthily and fully recharge in like 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah.
I just there's so much more that could be done. However, that would be an awful thing, especially for my previous career in the military. If they could get away with humans only needing 3 hours of sleep, they would just add like 5 hours a day of work.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I got a couple of things. We'll see how it goes. So hello everyone, welcome to the daily cup of genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse podcast network, available on the majority of your favorite podcast apps like Apple and Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Amazon. We're on all of those, and I think a couple of others as well. I'm Kyle, that's Manny. Check out the website lrmonline.com for news, celebrity interviews, written reviews, and more. And yeah, I think that's all the housekeeping, Manny. I actually have a couple of DC things to talk about today. Did you have anything on your mind before I kind of go down that rabbit hole?
No, not really.
So one of them, and I think this is actually a couple of days old with the holiday weekend and us missing on Monday. But did you see the Batgirl image, the one of the suit that we would have eventually gotten in the film?
Oh yeah.
Not a bad looking suit. I mean, it fits a hell of a lot more than the other one did, but most of us assumed that the other one was some early suit, but you couldn't guarantee that. I still, and it's a thing that you saw on Batwoman on TV, because of more hair on top, I guess, maybe, but the helmets always look kind of odd. Real life females with helmets like this, because it's a bit bulkier than some of the male. And I'll tell you, the Gotham helmet looking thing that they had going on, that looked kind of odd too, but much better suit overall. It looks like Batgirl. Do you think they're gonna continue to like leak stuff and anything that they might have had on their personal drives or phones to like gin up more support? But and this thing's dead, right?
Yeah, just about the sharing stuff. But yeah, what do you mean different than the early one? It's the same suit.
No. The first picture looks like it's shiny and made with like a puffy jacket material. You don't remember the first real image? Like let's see, official image, official Batgirl suit reveal. Yeah, man. Here, this one. I'll share screen with you so you can
Oh
see it real quick.
yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Yeah.
okay. Yeah, that's what they had originally shown us,
Yeah.
which you and I were both like, look, you haven't seen it like with the camera rolling. Even production stills are different than how they look in motion. A lot of people were really making fun of the Witcher first season, the walnut looking armor I forget what Nifgardians or whatever, that it looked really ridiculous in like some cell phone footage, but when it got on screen, had the proper post effects and color correction and all of that added, things looked better. So you and I were willing to give it a benefit of the doubt. I think even you were mostly positive on it. I don't think you had too much to say, but
yeah, because the jacket is a lot. The jacket is comic accurate.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that it was like an evolution of the suit, mm-hmm. you know, from one thing to another. So it's just a share a few things here and there. I don't see why not. I mean, if you have the pictures, especially if you're proud of the work that you did. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do?
I don't know. I don't know. It's one of those weird ones where, yeah, sharing it is not a real big deal. I hate how this all of internet. Can you give us dark mode across everything without it like messing up? You know, come on. I don't. It's one of those weird movies where every time you drop something, sure, it's a memory, but it's just opening up these old wounds and it's like the Snyderverse thing. That's why I'm like wondering, do they hope to try to force something through this? Because they can't. I don't think they can ever, no amount of support, no amount of effort would get this. And as I'm clicking through to see if there's any other additional photos, none of this will ever see the light of day. And so it's just one of those, it's in a weird position because I don't know if the audience is as aware of how dead this is as it is. Does that make sense?
I don't see there being the giant outcry to bring this back.
We'll see in a couple of years. Anyways, the other thing that's tangentially connected because it's DC is some comments about the Flash featuring a new Justice League. Director and producer spouse, the Muschietti's, however you pronounce it. I think it's just Muschietti. Mentioned Andy himself, the director, says we are presenting a Justice League that is not the powerful Justice League that we all know. Bruce Wayne, it's like a retired vigilante, a half solar as Bruce Wayne said, it's like a retired vigilante, a half solar powered alien, and two idiots, the two idiots being the two Barry's. Mentions about the multiverse, working with different actors, including Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton, so multiple Batman. And then you have Sasha Kaye, of course, mentioned, Michael Shannon's Zod mentioned, and Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman mentioned, all here in an interview, seemingly to deny that she was that Gal Gadot's at least cut out of the Flash movie, kind of maybe signaling that she will survive the DC reboot of sorts, the DCU, and carry on as Wonder Woman. I don't know, man. What do you make of those quotes and those lines and the idea of, I could see Barry coining the term, oh, we're like the Justice League, you know, kind of like Spider-Man pretending to be an Avenger with his friends. I don't know. What do you think about the comments?
I don't know. The Flash is what it is now, and it's probably been reworked a dozen times. So,
about it?
No, not at all. I don't. I mean, like it really has no. It has no weight to it anymore. Now it's just a fun movie I want to watch. Just like a lot of times is a lot of the Warner Brothers like animated films. I'm not saying that they're bad or anything. I'm not saying this film is bad either. But you know, you could go into it with really low expectations and just have fun with it. It's not gonna rework the DC universe. It's just a Flash movie now. It's just another comic book to enjoy. And at least I get to have. You get to check out the Wonder Woman, the Supergirl. Get to check out the return of Michael Keaton, which is my Batman, and we'll see what Muschietti had up his sleeve. As to your comments about Wonder Woman, I don't know, man. The people who are out have been very open to say they're out, and the people who are not, if any, really haven't said much. And
she hasn't really said too much.
The only thing she said a day before Patty Jenkins got really
is that she's looking forward to
what comes next with Wonder Woman. And we've seen Jason Momoa also comment about, you know, working with DC on a future project, which is it's almost forgiven what it is, because he's kind of also hinted at it during late night talk shows, I think specifically with Jimmy Kimmel, and then not to mention even Zach Levi talking about his character and possibly, you know, saying that his character is okay, is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's we'll see. Like the thing with DC that I'm tired of is now really just the coverage of it, and how people are really just taking whatever news they can and just really throwing it into the wall and seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what's happening with it, unfortunately. And so I'm just looking forward to kind of getting these movies out of the way and getting some information at some point whenever it's ready about, you know, one of the things to come. It's cool. It's a cool year for The Flash, because also we have the ninth and final season of The Flash on the CW, which is a really important show, because it really expanded the Arrowverse into so many directions. And I think although like Arrow was the base, was the foundation, The Flash really, I think, was the one that kind of networked everything to what it was. It was the connecting point, I think, to so many other shows. And you know, whatever Ezra Miller tried to do with The Flash with Zack Snyder and company, to this point, I think most fans would agree that Grant Gustin is The Flash. Same way that for me, Michael Keaton is Batman. Grant Gustin is The Flash. It's funny, because I've never been the biggest fan of The Flash, especially Barry Allen. He's always so annoying. He's really whiny. For a hero. It's cool. This last season is going to feature a lot of characters from some of the other shows. I'm almost kind of like paying homage to everything that's happened, and it's really nice. The only shows to survive so far, or just for now, Lois and Clark, or Lois and Superman. I don't even know what that show's called anymore.
That one. Yeah.
I gotta watch it. I gotta pick it up again. It's actually really good.
That's what I heard.
People
really enjoyed the portrayal.
Like, the thing about it is, I really like Superman as a family guy. Like, and the Dan Jurgens, because
it's something that's actually relatable to a character,
right?
That by its design was unrelatable. He was meant to be a demigod, an idol to be idolized, to be the ideal man, the ideal American, you know.
Yeah, but it gives him so much depth, and it gives him, and you can see where, and you can see why he's able to fight so hard, and why he wants to protect Earth so much is because of what he has at home, what he loves, and you know, whatever Superman isn't, as this demigod Lois is as a reporter, and the dynamics always so good, and then Jonathan's always been great. The New 52 Dan Jurgens run, of Superman is one of the best things I've ever read. I've never really been a Superman fan. I've always been a Batman guy, but that alone like got me so on board with Superman. And then what's his name, he created Miles Morales over at
Bendis
ruined it all for me. So the first thing that happens is like Lois gets sent into space, and one of the first pages we see Superman flirting with a like fireman, and it's like, what is happening? Like, he wouldn't do that. It was just weird. he had almost a little like low key slimy. So, but
wow.
But yeah, it's we'll see, man. I'm very excited for what's to come with DC, because it'll be new, it'll be different. Right now, unfortunately, Marvel Studios has me really bored, and I'm hoping Ant-Man and the Wasp changes that.
Told you, I need it to change.
Which takes me to an interesting point, because about She-Hulk, and I hate beating this with a dead horse, but over the weekend, for whatever reason, it was decided that
Slot bringing shit.
Dan Slot was going to be like, oh yeah, the She-Hulk is comic accurate. It's like, well, okay, that's fine, but not everything that's comic accurate. Well, then obviously, what is comic accurate doesn't really translate work for television. Just because it's comic accurate doesn't make it good. And to call it the most comic accurate show on the on the MCU, give me a break.
You know what's funny though is I hated the twerking scene, but not because
I didn't have a problem with that. I thought it was fun.
Well, no, I hated it because I just don't care for dancing. It's the same thing with musicals. Don't get me wrong, a attractive lady shaking her butt, yeah, sure, it is visually pleasing in general, but I it could have been any other setting, any other attractive lady. And I still would have been like, oh, I don't care. I don't need this. I don't want this. Like I got to spout it. If I want to do dirty dancing, I can go to the bedroom and have fun with that, you know, with my spouse. I don't like music numbers. I don't like dance numbers. So I didn't care for the scene on any level and wouldn't in any other, context in general. But the people that are trying to, virtue signal over it, saying, you know, not in my MCU. I mean, come on now, guys. Like, Black Widow's whole shtick in Iron Man 2 is sex kitten, you know? Freaking yeah, Tony Dan Slott pointed out very well that there's sexualization in Iron Man 1 with the attractive flight attendants and the pole dancing and stuff like that. So my issues didn't come from that, and the issues with She-Hulk go way beyond a twerking scene. Definitely go way beyond that.
Actually, I think up to that point, if I remember correctly, I was still on board with She-Hulk. I wasn't. No, I thought that episode was a lot of fun, and to be able to wrap it up like that, I thought you gave it that fourth wall a little bit more of validity, just because it's things that we here on our side of the planet, we on this and whatever our multiverse or whatever you want to call it, our reality here, like, you know, that we know very well, like someone like Megan Thee Stallion and whatnot. Yeah, you're so boring, dude. Like, how do you not like musical numbers or dance numbers? It's just fun.
I don't like dancing myself. I never have. I don't care for it at all. Like, no type of
no
of
rhythm dancing.
Like I no like sauce. I said, If I wanted to do, and because everyone always brings up, well, what about grinding and stuff, like, especially back in high school? It's like, dude, there is a place where that will be a hell of a lot more fun than the middle of a public dance floor. You know what I'm saying?
Like, absolutely.
That's how boring. I was, man.
That is.
And that's how I still am. I don't care for, there's about one time that I will actually, quote unquote, dance, and that is at a ska show before I was more limited physically. I'd skank, damn right, and little circle pits and skanking. Yeah, I could do that, but that's the extent of it.
Such a white answer.
I'm not even like a thrash dancer at a metal or hardcore show with all the arm throw. Nope.
What the heck do you do at part? What do you guys do at parties then? You just stand there?
Well, when I was in school, I let me see how to phrase this. When I was if I had done partying in high school, I would have been drinking and partaking with my high school peers in non-high school activities. that's what parties were like for us. If you weren't BSing with friends, you know, and drinking, then you were, you know, trying to hook up. And in the military, it was very similar. But I also got married pretty early on. I got married in 07, so right after I had turned 22. So I've been married now going into 16, 17 years marriage, and 07 to 23, 16. So yeah, 16 years of marriage.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, the party life is different now. I got the spouse, so all of the other stuff that you do at parties is kind of, you know, not for me, which is fine, because I never cared for it anyways.
The thing is, like, dancing was such a part of parties for us growing up.
Mm.
Like, I mean, just as friends, we would go to like salsa clubs just to get better and to learn new moves and to hang out.
Punk rocker, like, man. Yeah. I was your freaking Vans wearing Dickie shorts, well, having
but we do that too.
T-shirt.
That's all
I was, man. I was a little punk rock kid, man. I was that's, you don't dance that, you jump up and down. Sure.
No, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
And like I said, ska is got the skanking, but no, man, it was just never my.
I have always argued that ska music was influenced highly by Mexican rock.
I mean,
especially in the late 80s. Comes from
the Caribbean. It's based off of reggae beats and stuff.
Yeah, that
get a punk rock twist to them in general. But yeah, I mean, and if you listen to like Desmond Dekker and stuff like that, anyways, yeah,
ska's fun.
Ska's a great,
fun. Yeah,
it's great. It's a great genre.
So I got something for you.
What?
Something political for you.
Oh joy, are we having hot takes more than Kyle's hot take on Dirty Dancing? It's better in the bedroom.
Yeah, I'm still sad about that, but that's okay. I'll let you be you. So, U.S. Congressman-elect and former mayor of Long Beach, Robert Garcia, has confirmed, this is via IGN, and also I was on Twitter all day yesterday, that he will be sworn into Congress on the U.S. Constitution alongside a photo with his parents, his citizen certificate, and an original Superman number one comic that may be worth around $5 million.
Hmm.
We're not doing it on the Bible, not doing it on the Quran. Superman number one.
I am wholly supportive of this. I am one of those that is about as a First Amendment purist as you can get, with logic. And I have no problems with that. I never thought of that potential, because usually people will do a holy text, Torah, mm-hmm. Bible,
right.
Quran, other texts out there. Others won't use anything, but maybe like a constitution or something like that. But the idea of like swearing in on a stack of every version of Final Fantasy VII, you know? why the hell not, you know? why not? I swear to Sephiroth, you know, the one winged angel. No, I'm down with that. I mean, it's Superman, but
what's funny is that he got backlash about reading comics still.
Really?
Yeah, to the point where he had to write for all you upset that I still read comics and suggesting that I need to do more serious reading. Anyone who understands comics knows that comics are an essential part of American fiction. And lessons learned are invaluable. And he ends it with, It's serious shit. Exact words. It is. I still don't understand the how people can be so so taboo about comics in a sense. Almost like if you're picking up a Playboy or something. When you bring it up with people, it's like, oh yeah, I'm reading whatever, and they're like, oh, you read comics? It's like, oh, like is that beneath you or something? Like what? Like, I don't know. I've always been one. I think I maybe also I have a different perspective because I know so many comic book creators, and so the conversations we have are really deep as far as their, you know, what their goal is in a story or their character arcs and things like that, and also their excitement about being able to tell, you know, storyteller that medium and have a team with them. It's not easy because you don't just have to tell the story, you have to script it. You need to be able to communicate with an entire team about your tone, about what you want the art to look like and everything, and then put it together and then be able to do it, unless you're doing a graphic novel, to be able to do it almost serialized and only a certain amount of pages and panels. It's like, it's not easy.
No, not at all.
And right now, there's such a huge part of the entertainment world that is built on comics.
Yeah.
Umbrella Academy is comics. MCU is entirely comics. What Sony's trying to do is comics.
The Boys.
The Boys is a terrible comic, and I mean in the sense that it is heavy stuff.
Yeah.
If you think this show goes too far,
oh, there's things you can get away with in print that you can't.
Absolutely not.
You can't do that on television.
Invincible on Amazon Prime is comics. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I can go on and on and on, but my point being is,
did you know Batman is comics?
I don't think they know that the MCU is comics. I mean, the whole point that we were just talking about She-Hulk is Dan Slott was talking about how it's comic accurate.
Yeah.
And so it's always interesting to me to see how people, like, for whatever reason, like, think of comics as just like really like kid stuff. And yeah. It's like, nah, like, There's so much mature content in a lot of books. Like, yeah, there's kids for comics, the same way that there's TV shows and that there's movies, but then they range and you have horror and you have everything. It's just a different medium.
Well, it's just, we had mentioned the same thing about animation yesterday, I think it was, and how people will scoff at cartoons, and whether they're watching Looney Tunes or American Dad or the latest anime that's on Toonami, like, people all see one thing, like 8 to 10 year old kids, like, that's all they see that cartoons are for, because for one reason or another they stopped watching animated things sometime around 10, 11, 12 years old. I've always found it really weird the amount of people, famous YouTuber Simon Whistler, he's got a lot of channels, Warographics, Biographics, Today I Found Out, I think is one of them. There's a lot, top tens, and he's one of those. He always talks about how he does not care for most fiction. Like, he hates science fiction stuff. He hates fantasy stuff. The only Star Trek he likes is Next Generation. He doesn't like things that are super fan. And he doesn't watch a lot of entertainment. Like, he's very, very limited. And I'm always shocked by how many people are out there that are like that, to where it might even go beyond animation, to where it's just like, no, if it's not really realistic, I don't care. And I don't know man, I look at most entertainment as a form of escapism or a form of commentary, and sometimes a hybrid, and there's a time and place for all. I don't get the people that want to stay here, that don't want to escape. I don't know if you've looked around or not, but the world freaking sucks.
Yeah, it does.
And the majority of us people, we suck. And getting away from that every now and then for a 30-minute chunk of cartoons or an hour on a video game, or a couple of hours spent reading your weekly pulls from the comic book shop, man, that's not a waste of time. That's their freaking putic, man.
Yeah, I mean,
so more power to them.
Yeah, if you want to watch the real world, just check out what's going on Capitol Hill yesterday. That's the real world.
And stuff was fun.
And unfortunately, and you know how real it's getting? You know what I thought of immediately? Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End when they're trying to pick the Pirate King.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that looked like.
That's just because Luffy wasn't there.
No, that
it would have been unsettled.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and so, so yeah. So that's the real world, by the way. So if he wants it to blend a little bit more, unfortunately, it's happening. Forever. Was it called the Forever Purge? Final Purge? The last Purge movie that they did.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it looks a lot like the real world. So there's that. If you want stuff that's the real world, unfortunately it's blending and not for the best reasons. Yeah. I remember when I talked to the director for that movie, and it was like, did you mean to do that? He's like, no, we had no idea that it would get this bad. So point being, comic books, man, give them a shot, read them. They're not all great. No, that's actually true. But there's gems there. What's that other people are all about? The Neil Gaiman one that came out.
Oh, Sandman.
Sandman. That's a comic book.
That's comics.
And then also,
Lucifer was a popular show for a bit. That's also DC / Vertigo.
Vertigo. That's Vertigo. Yeah.
we can go
on and on. Umbrella Academy, Gerard Way, everyone's like, yeah, he's the guy from the band. It's like, yeah, but he's also a really big comic book fan. A lot of people, actually. Nick Cage is a huge comic book fan. We can go on and on about it, but my point being is that this it's cool to see a Superman book being used to be sworn in. And then it even made me start thinking about my values, and would I use a Batman book instead of a Bible? Because I just might. But honestly, you know which book I would use is it's a more recent book, but it meant a lot to me, and it still does for many, many reasons. Tom King's and Mitch Gerard's Mr. Miracle number one.
Oh, I was gonna suggest Death in the Family. No, I'm joking.
No, that's a good one too. But yeah, no, the Mr. Miracle number one, Tom King and Mitch Gerard's just one of my favorite books of all time. I've said this for a couple of years, but I've actually been quite wuss about it. You can maybe hold me accountable now for the next few. I got other priorities right now, but I do want to get a tattoo of Mr. Miracle on me. And that'll happen at some point.
I can respect that. Do you have any tattoos yet?
Nope, I don't. So
I can respect that much better than just getting something off of the wall in Flash. Not that Flash is all bad, but you know, I like it when people go and get some more custom work with an artist.
The thing I know for a fact, I get one. It's going to open a rabbit hole that I will not be able to close, and I do not want that.
I can hear it. I can smell it. I can almost taste the room right now, and my skin is begging to go get tortured. Oh, the exquisite pain. I feel like a Cenobite. I'm not lying, man. I am a glutton for it. So there's only like all of my tattoos that I have, the ones on my legs, all of them have been done in one sitting each. And not all, you know, 11, 12 or whatever it is, were done at the same time. But each time I get a tattoo. Like, my whole Ghostbusters, this was one. Shading, lining, color, all Jesus. One. My Ninja Turtles, all one. My Star Wars, all one. There's only one tattoo, and that's my, like, basically half-sleeve FLCL anime piece. It's, like, from here all the way down to, like, here. That's the only one that I did in two sittings, actually. Oh, ow! It's my bad shoulder. But this one, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So... Oh, it's hard to show off all that angle.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's the only one that was done in two sittings. So everything else was done in one. So I'm a glutton for it, man. I love the chair.
I just at some point then it becomes like not as high as a priority as other things, which I won't talk about here. Because other people may be listening in the house.
I did want to mention one thing because it's something we're both excited about, and there's these comments on some Blue Beetle screenings.
Yeah,
and they came from Big Screen Leaks Twitter. BSL's got a relative decent. Track record for a lot of different aspects of, well, leaks and things, and that might even include getting the inside scoop from people that have seen test screenings. So someone asked how the action scenes in Blue Beetle are, and they said that they're received extremely well. Lots of hand-to-hand combat action sequences, and they sound super entertaining.
The guy of course, from Cobra Kai be doing
exactly. That's exactly where I was going. Anyone that knows who's playing Blue Beetle knows that it's Zsolo from Cobra Kai, and that he's got that martial arts training at least through that. I don't remember if he had a training beforehand, if he did it as a younger kid on his own or not, but that sounds pretty exciting. And they also said Zsolo and George Lopez are the highest praised talent in the film, according to people that have been to test screenings. So how you feel about that, man? This is some positive buzz, if true.
Yeah,
good hand-to-hand combat.
I think that it's it sounds like people enjoyed it. I had heard George Lopez talking about it on a podcast, specifically about how it, you know, they offered it, they've also even offered him multiple roles as far as going forward. So it sounds like they're really happy with it. He sounds very excited about it. And it's just it's cool, man. I would love to see Blue Beetle do well, specifically for you know, Latinos.
I was gonna say, could you hop up to the mic and speak for all Latinos right now? No.
Because he's a younger hero. He's like a second generation Blue Beetle, really. If you think about it, if you're gonna take John Cord or whatever, It's just cool to see it. And the thing that gives me hope about this movie is that I think it has the potential to bring in a new audience to DC, because you've already been conditioned to Zsolo at Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're taking him into like a different action sequences with DC. It's like, oh, it's a guy from Cobra Kai. Let's check it out. Because because of Cobra Kai, he's been able to grow in popularity. In the same way, some of the Stranger Kids have done the same thing and not been able to, you know, branch off.
Stranger Things kids. Yeah. They are strange kids.
But if you think about it, like that's what's happening. Millie Bobby Brown and some of these other kids. Now you're looking at them doing other projects. Like, oh, that's the kid from Stranger Things, and you go check it out. Ghostbusters, I think that's why it was as successful as it was, because it was able to bring in a big group of kids that have been growing up with Stranger Things and now want to see them in a different medium. Millie Bobby Brown doing like Enola Holmes, and then Godzilla, and things like that, it attracts an audience because you're already comfortable with them and you like them from the setting. So yeah. Let's go see them over here. The kids now then transferring over to It. It's another one. And then, so I think that it's cool. It's cool. I think some of these shows on Netflix are really paying off in that sense to allow a new generation of stars to shine. And it's great. And it's great that it's going to be happening with a character like Blue Beetle, because Jaime Reyes is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say that I'm kind of like, let's see how it works out, is how stereotypes play out, and yeah. also just how it's done. But I have confidence that I'll be fine. We'll see. And it's weird because it's like I've talked about that movie from such a far point, and it's this year. And if you think about it, I lost so many things this year.
6 months.
It's so exciting.
June, yeah. right?
August.
August. Okay, so yeah. eight months.
Yeah, by then we've already seen Shazam, we've already seen The Flash, and, mm-hmm. and a bunch of other movies. And I wonder if that's something that they're going to be bringing over to Comic-Con. But I'm sure DC is going to, you know, do very well at Comic-Con this year, because they're going to have.
They're going to do something this year, according to Zaslav. That's why they dumped Fandom. Was we want to return into an in person. So
right. Like right now, they're dealing with the streaming service, because that's mm-hmm. going to launch. They were really adamant about launching it in the first quarter. It's great. You know what else is happening today? At some point, Dead trailer. I am on Twitter. I've been on Twitter this entire time, refreshing and like
seeing if it would pop up while we're recording. Oh my god! Like,
give me this damn trailer. Well, yeah, because they had the teaser yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and that was like nuts. Like, I was like, oh, okay, I remember this kind of stuff. I don't like this.
It's gonna be interesting with this new take on it, and a different location with a completely different setup than what you got with the original Evil Dead 1 and 2, the remake of Evil Dead with the female Ash, which I stand by is, while it's not Evil Dead that we know, it is a brutal horror movie, and I dug it.
The first one was bonkers.
Yeah, I'm really curious as to how this Evil Dead Rise will be, because it's, like I said, it's vastly different from anything we've seen in Evil Dead, especially Raimi Evil Dead, which, of course, hi, Kione. I always enjoyed the Army of Darkness movie quite a bit. The third Evil Dead film, if you will. That one's a lot of fun. So, yeah. We'll see. Hopefully, when it hits, I'll be able to react to it here on the YouTube channel, which is a really good segue to close out the show. You guys can find trailer reactions, anime reactions, reviews for Star Wars, Marvel, anime again, all in addition to news and rumor shows like Daily Cog, Breaking Geek Radio. All of those are also available. As you can see, my cat's tail. Man, you can actually see my cat's butt. all of those shows that aren't reaction videos go up on the popular podcast apps out there that I mentioned earlier, like Amazon and Google, Apple, and of course LRMOnline.com for interviews, written reviews, podcast write-ups, and of course news aggregation and opinion pieces on said news. So yeah, anything else today, Manny?
Just get the speaker thing over with, guys. It's embarrassing. We're supposed to be America, guys.
It's funny. I look. I'll say that this to everyone that thinks our stuff is dysfunctional. You should go watch the House of Commons, House of Lords stuff on C-SPAN or on YouTube these days of the UK Parliament. Go watch that. The you'll quickly learn that American politics are very well organized and tame by comparison. They straight up insult each other face to face on record in on recording. Get like it's awesome. It's so fun. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next time. Bye.